When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today. When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. After quite a long break, we are back with a classic, and boy, did Spa bring all the right ingredients. We had rain, we had a teammate championship battle, a vintage Lewis Hamilton masterclass, and so much more, which we'll dive into. But let's first dive right into some news. So ahead of this weekend, we learned that Pirelli skipped a tire compound for Spa. So that is a trick up their sleeve that Pirelli has not used since 2022, where they actually skip a compound from soft to medium to hard. So they went C1, C3, C4 instead of C2, C3, C4. So C1 was the hard, C3 the medium, C4 the soft, which was much discussed ahead of the race weekend, questioning whether this would actually make a difference. The goal for Pirelli here is really wanting to increase the strategy options for teams, hoping that the teams will think the hard tire will be too hard, forcing them to the medium and soft, and thus a two-stop strategy instead of a one-stop strategy. With the rain and the delayed start and the safety car rolling start, that didn't end up really panning out. We didn't have many two-stop strategies, only a few there, but certainly not in the lead. So maybe not the best weekend conditioned in terms of understanding whether or not that worked out, but I could see them doing this strategy in future races to try and make sure that teams have a lot of different strategy options up their sleeve and force some more exciting racing. Another piece of news heading into this weekend was Pierre Gasly's just very moving, very beautiful track run for Antoine Hubert and Dylano Van Hoff. So Antoine Hubert passed away during an incident at an F2 race at Spa in 2019, and then Dylano died in an incident in 2023 during a Formula Regional Championship race. So it was very beautiful. They all had shirts. They ran around the track, led by Pierre Gasly, but there were a lot of other drivers who took part, including both Charles and Carlos on bikes. Well, most other people were running, which was funny, but it was beautiful to see that. Pierre Gasly is just, I think, such a gem of a human. Every single year, he's done a tribute of sorts, and he was very close with Antoine Hubert. And Antoine Hubert's mother was also with the Gasly family all weekend and really admired her grace and strength. And of course, the Gaslys just seem like incredible people. So very sweet of them to do that. And it was a beautiful start to the weekend at a track that has unfortunately unfortunately seen a lot of fatalities. So in terms of the teams, 8 out of the 10 teams brought upgrades this weekend. They had a lot of time with a several week break to do so, but a little bit of a tough weekend from a data perspective because it was a sprint weekend, so they only had one practice. And then also with the mixed conditions and the rain, a little hard to tell how well the upgrades worked, but there was a lot of racing action this weekend, so hopefully they got some good information from that. Notably, I think Yuki had some upgrades, which seemed to help him fare a little bit better with the car. It's obviously a much discussed topic with Yuki and any other Red Bull driver in that second seat not really getting along with the car. So hopefully it's a turn for the better. Like I said, it was a sprint weekend, so we'll do a little bit of in case you missed it for each of the events, starting with sprint quali. So sprint quali, the first big incident was Lewis Hamilton having a rear lockup and spinning. He was out in Q1. Both Mercedes did not make it to Q3. Kimi was out in Q1 and Russell was out in Q2. Some of the other highlights, both Haases made it to Q3, including Ocon in P5, which was very exciting. And Oscar just had a record-breaking pole. He was almost half a second faster than the rest of the field, which was pretty crazy. For the sprint itself, it wasn't super exciting. It was relatively uneventful, actually, outside of Max Verstappen passing Oscar on lap one and then never really looked back. But it was a super short race. Max did have to fight for it from Oscar through the remaining laps, but he never really looked back after that first lap. So it was an exciting win for Red Bull, especially in its new era after Christian Horner has left the team. It's the first race event that Laurent Mekies has been team boss. So getting a win and having Max feel good about that at Spa as the first race coming back, I think was positive vibes for the team. Later that day, we had quali for the main race. And there was a bizarre incident at the beginning of quali with Nico Hülkenberg and Lance Stroll having a moment of contact in the pit lane. And both of them were defending their positions. Both of them were summoned to the stewards. I'm not sure if there's been any decision on that, but it was sort of a bizarre incident where they made contact and Nico's front wing, I believe, was damaged. In Q1, once it got going, the biggest surprise, unfortunately, was Hamilton getting his lap time deleted. It just seemed like a millimeter call. And so Hamilton was out in Q1 again, both qualifying events this weekend. Hamilton was out in Q1 and he just said it was unacceptable. He seemed really defeated. Out alongside him in Q1 was Colapinto, Kimi Antonelli, who was also very emotional, and then both Aston Martins. Bizarre weekend for Aston Martin, unfortunately. But like I was saying, Kimi was quite emotional about not having a handle on the car and feeling like he has sort of lost confidence, which is really sad to see. And he didn't have a great weekend here in Spa. And after starting the season really strong, seems to have struggled a little bit more in the second part of this season. One thing that was really sweet was Lewis reportedly going to the Mercedes hospitality to comfort Kimi. So we love to see that. Q2 for quali, we had out Ocon, Gasly, Hülkenberg, Sainz, and Ollie Bearman. Q3, incredible Lando pole. McLaren had a front row lockout. Behind the two McLarens were Charles, Max Verstappen, Alex Albon in P5, which was his best start of the year and very exciting. James Vowles was super happy celebrating on the pit wall. So we love to see that. And then George Russell, Yuki, Isaac, Liam, and Gabby Bortoletto, who had a kind of low-key, sneaky good weekend. And he actually, Gabby loves this track from his F2 days, and he just seems to be really comfortable at Spa. Liam, on the other hand, also had a great weekend. And this is the only track he has not had any experience at, that he's never raced at. So pretty exciting for him to do well and bring home some points. So for the race, there was a rain delay for 90 minutes, which there were a lot of opinions on. I have to say, I was personally very happy that they were being cautious. I think this track is just not one to take chances at in the rain, given the casualties and the fatalities we've had here historically. So I was happy to see that they were relatively cautious, even though many drivers on the radio were asking for the race to start. They did start behind a safety car. They did a few laps behind that and then had a rolling start. The track was just too wet to have a standing start. And this time when they made the call to do a rolling start, it was because both sides of the track were not equally dry. So you can't be giving an advantage to one half of the track starting and then the other is just starting in the wet. So rolling start, I think, was the right decision. And like I was saying, many of the drivers on the radio were asking for the race to start, except except Lando, who seemed to want to continue behind the safety car. I'm not sure why he was feeling more cautious, but when they finally did start, Oscar just seemed much more daring, much more courageous, passed Lando on lap one. Lando came on the radio and said that he had no more pack, which was kind of weird. So he's referring there to the battery pack. Apparently, he deployed all of his battery power on the safety car restart, but it was kind of strange that Oscar didn't have that issue, and that's not something you hear a lot on the radio about, and lots of you asked about this, but essentially there are different uses for the battery, which charges throughout the lap by braking and coasting. So you recharge your battery, and you should have a full pack at the start of a safety car restart because you're just kind of coasting behind the safety car. So that was a little strange, but I think maybe Lando was just like smashing that overtake button and using all of the battery to start on that safety car restart. And Oscar maybe didn't do the same, but was just more daring into the corners and was able to pass Lando. Lando seemed a little bit more timid at the start here, whereas Oscar just seemed like stomach of steel. Let's go for it. Lewis, big highlight for him, was charging through the field in the early laps. I think he passed like several cars within one lap, and he made the call to go to slicks first, which really paid off. So after starting P18, he was in seventh by, you know, lap 11 or something like that. So really incredible, both charge through the field and then also a strategy call to go to the slicks early. And then a lot of people started coming in for slicks. Lando made the gamble to go on hards, whereas everyone else was on mediums. Lando was the only driver on hards, and the goal for him was to try and make it to the end. And we saw later in the race that a lot of people were complaining about the mediums degrading, but we'll obviously talk about Oscar and his ability to nurse those medium tires for 32 laps and make it a one stop and stay out. One thing I thought was funny during the race is obviously we've seen Lando and Oscar kind of fight each other on track before, and you always hear their engineers coming on and talking about the other car. But it's funny because they don't often name the other driver. So like Lando's engineer came on and he was like, the other car is on mediums. And like, do you want to go to hards? Give me a really quick answer. And it's just funny that they refer to Oscar as the other car. It's like he who shall not be named in Harry Potter or something, which is kind of funny. But really the focus, besides some exciting midfield battles, there were some unfortunate DRS trains, but it was fun to watch people kind of climb up through the field and do different strategies. But the real battle was both for one and two, whether Lando was going to be able to catch Oscar on the hard tires, and then also for three and four between Charles Leclerc and Max Verstappen, who Charles, incredible, was able to keep Max Verstappen behind him, despite the fact that Max was, you know, a second to 2 seconds behind Charles for most of the race, honestly. That was a fun battle to watch, but I think most eyes were on whether Lando was going to be able to catch and pass Oscar. But unfortunately, Lando just made several mistakes that cost him time in his chase to catch Oscar. He went off track at one point, locked up, several different incidents that just lost him almost a second each time. So unfortunately, Lando was not able to bring the fight to Oscar on the last couple laps. But in the end, we had on podium Oscar, Lando, and Charles. It's a fun fact, but all of them have 8 wins in Formula One, 8 career wins. So that was a little bit of a fun stat. And then we had Max, George, Albon, who put on an incredible defense to keep P6 from Hamilton, who had just been charging through the field. But props to Alex Albon for hanging on there. And then Hamilton behind him, Liam Lawson, Gabriel Bortoleto, and Pierre Gasly. There was a moment where Sauber gave team orders to have Nico Hülkenberg let Gabby through. And I really just love their team dynamic. I mean, I didn't hear the radio from Nico, if there even was one, but it didn't seem like there was a fight or annoyance or whatever. He just knew that Gabby was the faster car and he should let him through to try to catch Liam Lawson, but that was unfortunately not going to be. But I do love their teammate dynamic, and really great weekend from Gabby Bortoleto here in Spa. The radio of the week this week was Charles Leclerc to his race engineer, Brian Bodsey, basically saying, leave me alone, please. We hear a lot of leave me alone radios on the radio from the Ferrari drivers, but it was in reference to Max Verstappen, who was kind of breathing down his neck. And Charles said on the radio, I have no information. And then when he's close, I have too much information, basically being like, you're doing your job all wrong. Just please leave me alone or keep it constant. I got a question from one of you saying thoughts on Ferrari drivers and their engineers from Eat Read Travels. It's a rough dynamic. It just doesn't seem fun for anyone involved. And these race engineers must just have really thick skins because they just seem to like roll with it, I guess. But I don't know. I think Ferrari's always had some struggles in the strategy department, and the race engineer relationship just seems to still be figured out. I can understand more on the Lewis Hamilton side of some frustration, because Lewis has had one major relationship with Bono his entire career, essentially, at Mercedes. And so to go from that to a completely new culture, a completely new race engineer and all of that, there must be growing pains. But with Charles and Brian, like, they have a pretty good historical relationship. So it just seems to be a little rough waters right now. And maybe it's because the car isn't great and the drivers are just frustrated and they want to be fighting for wins and they're just not. I don't know what the deal is, but I hope that it changes. Ferrari is P2 in constructors. They're still doing incredibly well despite a lot of the frustrations. They just seem to like air it out on the radio, maybe more so than other teams. I'm not sure. Two other highlights. Lewis got driver of the day, very well deserved. And then Kimi got fastest lap. So that felt a little poetic, especially after Lewis going to comfort Kimi after quali. Overall, I thought this race was a classic. Spa usually delivers, especially when it's rainy. It's super fun to watch. Just a classic track. It was relatively easy to pass for certain drivers throughout the race, which always makes it fun in terms of the overtakes. I think it would have been a more exciting race if the last several laps came down to a fight between Oscar and Lando, but alas, that was not to be. And it's always exciting to watch Oscar dominate or a driver have just like an incredibly, incredibly good drive. So did not put a toe wrong. In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Let's be honest, does anyone really know what hormones do? There is so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, a sense of balance. And Happy Mammoth, the company behind this formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormonal imbalances. And what makes this formula unlike anything else is that it tackles multiple hormone imbalances at the same time, which creates a cascade of benefits all through the body and mind, just leading to a better mood, more energy, easier weight management, and deep comfort. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. For my MVP of the race, I'm going to have to give it to two. I think Oscar and Lewis really deserve that. The only two drivers to have scored points every weekend this season, which is kind of an insane stat if you think about it, because it does feel like Lewis has had a pretty dismal season. But for him to have scored points every weekend is pretty incredible. But on the Lewis side, starting P18, finishing P7, had some great strategy being the first to slicks, and the charge he went on beforehand cannot be denied. So it was certainly not just down to strategy. It was sort of masterclass Lewis in the wet, just schooling these midfield drivers. It was pretty incredible to watch. And then Oscar, I mean, just come on, did not put a toe out of line, passed his teammate on lap one in a really intense championship battle where they were only apart by, what, 9 points or something at the start of this race. And then he extended the gap enough to be comfortable, then nursed medium tires for 32 laps while his teammate was giving everything he had on hards behind him, but making a lot of mistakes. Just seems like Oscar is relatively unflappable. So really kudos to them. And it actually felt like the biggest Oscar celebration in a long time. And by that, I guess I just mean, you know, a slightly more than normal excited radio message with an expletive or two. So we love to see that. But I think Oscar really felt like he deserved this one and should feel good about this weekend. So I was happy to see him celebrate a little bit. I'm still curious if he does win the championship, if we will get an actual celebration from this man, because I really hope so. Maybe another gritty. I do also, MVP wise, want to give a shout out to Liam Lawson, Gabriel Bortoletto, and Pierre Gasly, just for quietly kind of sneaking in the top 10 and having great races. Not an easy track or race to do so, especially with the conditions and the changing dynamics. So really proud of them for doing that, and especially good to put a little wind in Liam's sails, especially given Isaac Hadjar had a really tough weekend. I don't know if I'll go so far as to give Isaac LVP, just because he's still the only driver to make it to Q3 every weekend. And it's pretty impressive, especially when you have 7-time champion being knocked out of Q1 twice in a row in a weekend. So props to Isaac Hadjar for that as well. I think I'll give my LVP just to the Aston Martins. Like, what a bizarre weekend, just not great racing and not great cars. So it just seems like a little bit of a brutal run for them. And I'm really hoping they're good in 2026. I know I've talked a little bit about this on the podcast already, but hoping that they come out swinging. And I'm still kind of banking on Max Verstappen maybe going to Aston Martin with the Honda, the newie of it all, the money, the new factory. Just going to have to see either Fernando or Lance Stroll exit the chat, which may prove more difficult. We kind of hit a lot of the discussion points. There's not a ton more to talk about in this race. I think one question that came up was, do you think Lando can bounce back from Juju Quiros? And just sort of thoughts around Oscar versus Lando's racing style, particularly in this race. I think I had mentioned this before, but Lando just sounded kind of scared before the race even started and wanted to stay behind the safety car. Oscar was just braver at the start. And we saw Lando just sort of make mistake after mistake trying to chase Oscar down, whereas Oscar just felt pretty unflappable. And so I think this wasn't Lando's race weekend, but do I think he can bounce back? 100%. We've seen him do it before. They're tied for the number of race wins. Lando did get pole after all this weekend. So he's still very much in the fight. They're only 16 points apart in the championship. So they're still one race away from, you know, having the order switch. But I think that will require Oscar putting a major foot wrong, which doesn't seem to happen very often. So yeah, not a ton else to discuss, I feel like, but it was a fun weekend back. We are now officially in the back half of the season. We're rounding the corner, and I think things are going to get exciting. I think silly season is coming up. We had a quasi-summer break, but the real summer break is coming for us, where I think we should expect to see some contract announcements. I did post a post on Instagram detailing when all the drivers' contracts are expiring, and the ones we have expiring this year are George Russell, Kimi Antonelli, Isaac Hadjar, Yuki Tsunoda, and Liam Lawson. So we'll see what happens. I think a lot of people's eyes are on Max Verstappen, even though he has a contract through 2028. Will he stick with Red Bull for 2026, or will he go elsewhere? Mercedes has been the talk of the town. Aston Martin is also sort of my sneaky dark horse, but the farther we get away from the Christian Horner news, I don't know, the more likely it seems to me that maybe he will stick at Red Bull. I know my prediction was that he was going to leave for sure, just because it feels like Red Bull will be entering a rebuilding year and 2026 regulations may be a tough one for them with their own power unit. So we'll see on that. But I think we should expect some announcements at some point. And the big question then is what happens to George if Max decides to go to Mercedes? Does George stick it through? Do we get a George contract announcement with Mercedes in terms of a renewal before we hear about Max? And that maybe gives us an answer. I don't know. The other sad potential exit we may see from Formula One is Yuki Tsunoda if he does not continue to improve. This was a better weekend for him than he's had in the past, but let's hope that he continues that momentum, because I do think it would be sad to see Yuki go. I don't know if everybody's been following the bit about how Oscar Piastri's mom, Nicole Piastri's favorite driver is Yuki Tsunoda. Maybe outside her own son, but honestly, maybe just her favorite driver is Yuki. They had a really cute picture and she was wearing the Red Bull 22 Yuki Tsunoda cap. And so I loved to see that. That was a good bit. I think Oscar's mom is just an absolute gem in the paddock and just in the F1 world. And I really love her. So loved to see that. We'll just wrap it up with some standings and then a very quick Hungarian Grand Prix preview. And of course, my hot takes for that race. So for drivers, like I was saying, Oscar is 16 points ahead of Lando now in the championship. So Oscar has 266 to Lando's 250. Max Verstappen at 185, George Russell 157, Charles Leclerc 139, Lewis Hamilton 109, Kimi Antonelli 63, Alex Albon 54, Nico Hülkenberg 37, and Esteban Ocon 27. I will say one of the highlights of this weekend was how excited Haas was to have a good first part of the weekend, getting both drivers into Q3 for the sprint. And I loved seeing that celebration. And it was fun to see Amelia de Moldenberg, the chicken shop date girl, in the Haas garage. And so maybe that brought them some good luck. But I love to see them celebrating. Always love seeing a happy Laura Mueller on TV. So good stuff there. For constructors, McLaren just continues to pull ahead. I think it's safe to say they have the Constructors Championship on lock with 516 points to Ferrari's 248, Mercedes 220, Red Bull 192, Williams 70, Kick Sauber 43, Racing Bulls 41, Aston Martin 36, Haas 35, and Alpine 20. So again, lots to play for. So we have Hungary this weekend, a doubleheader. This is at the Hungaroring. It's one of the toughest and most technical races of the season. It's a great track to be a spectator at because due to the elevation, this track also is just in a bit of a valley. You can see a lot of the track from the grandstands. It's a fun one. I definitely want to go at some point. Although maybe not the easiest to pass on, it has some similar characteristics to Monaco. It's basically all technical corners and then only one straight. So the focus is typically on a higher downforce setup as opposed to straight line speed. But 4.38 kilometers, 70 laps, 14 turns. I think look out for turn two, which is usually a good overtaking zone if drivers can get a good run out of turn one. Turn four is also nearly a blind corner. So fun stuff to look out for there. We'll see what the weather is like. Typically, it's very hot here, but I'm excited for Hungary. I think it's going to be fun to see which teams continue the momentum. We'll hopefully get to see some more of these upgrades shine in more consistent conditions, but I'm excited for it. So for my hot takes for Hungary, I'm going to say someone other than a McLaren wins the race, which feels like a bit of a hot take, but I guess that's what these are for. So someone other than a McLaren wins the race. And I'm going to predict in the top five drivers, there is a switch up in championship order. We'll come back and figure out if I'm right on that. Thank you so much as always for listening. And we'll be back next week with a Hungary Grand Prix recap.